prefer taking handwritten notes, or is clacking away on a keyboard more your speed? Well, it turns out one benefits your brain a lot more than the other. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, back soon to reveal which method is king.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com.
According to 30 recent studies, writing things down by hand is better for your brain than typing. That's because creating letters requires different hand motions, and that activates more regions of the brain, which helps you retain more of what you're writing. Handwriting is especially better for aging brains because it stimulates cognition and neuroplasticity. So if you're the type of person who naturally gravitates to the keyboard, you might want to grab a pen and write this down. Handwriting is good for you. I'm Dr. Katherine Albrecht, and if you've been listening for long, you know if there's one thing I oppose, it's AI. I've just launched a brand new website to fight back. Check it out at realisgood.org.
This is the Dr. Katherine Albrecht Show.
Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Raise a signal flag on a bare hilltop. Call up an army against Babylon. Wave your hand to encourage them. Wave your hand to encourage them as they march into the palaces of the high and mighty. I, the Lord, have dedicated these soldiers for this task. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. Yes, I have called mighty warriors to express my anger. And they will rejoice when I am exalted.
Hello, good afternoon. Glad to be back. Katherine Albrecht here. And I'm actually live streaming on YouTube, but don't tell anybody because I I'm not sure I'm doing it right. So let me make sure I have everything unmuted. I have to remember all of my steps again that I used to do in the studio. I'm in my home studio now, and it is good to be back on YouTube. Interesting to be back on YouTube. So bear with me. I'm probably going to take a couple of days with my rusty sea legs to remember how to run all of the equipment because it's been probably like a good month and a half, almost 2 months since I've been on YouTube. But I'm looking forward to doing this on a regular basis, and I'm looking forward to actually doing some individual podcasting and some short things as I run across them and posting them on YouTube as well. So welcome to all the new subscribers to YouTube. I think we're up to 254, 56, something like that. That is not bad, considering we haven't really announced it. So it's great to have you guys with me. All right. Well, this is Valentine's weekend. Today is February 11th, 2026, if you're watching a rebroadcast. But if you're here with me live, you know that it is Valentine's Day this weekend. And that got me thinking about one of my favorite guests that I've ever had on the show. And I'm going to see if I can get him on, but I can't get him on on this short notice. But it is John Van Epp. And I'm holding a copy of his book. You see the word jerk in big letters there. But the book is called How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk or Jerkette. It doesn't say jerkette on here, but he talks about jerkettes, female jerks, in his plentiful talks. So this book came out. He was a guest on my show, gosh, probably 10 years ago. This book has been through many, many reprintings. It sold over 250,000 copies. John Van Epp has not only published these books, but he's also done trainings for members of the military, service members who have an unfortunate tendency to marry the wrong people while they're in service and under duress. And so this training program has been introduced all over the country and I believe in several other countries around the world. So this book came out, the copy I'm holding is 2007, but there's a more recent one. And you can find it on YouTube also, where it says over 200,000 copies sold, 1,266 reviews, and 4.7 stars. So I just want to share with you some of the thoughts here about Valentine's Day is on my mind, and I'm thinking about relationships. And I received a heartfelt request for prayer from a listener in my email who asked to ask me if I would be willing to pray for him to find a wife, to find someone to love, to find a woman to fall in love with and get married to. So I did hit start streaming. It's just, all right, well, I guess I'm not streaming because it's just beeping. There we go. Are you sure you want to start the stream, yes or no? I think the answer is no until I get back from this break. I think I'm just going to be on the air here and I'll come back on YouTube after the break. So once again, I told you I was just figuring out how to do this. So let me focus instead of thinking about the camera and this YouTube now that I know I'm actually not on camera. Let me focus on the book. So this particular book, I'm going to read you the back of it, and I want to encourage everyone out there who is not married or in a relationship, but is seeking to be married or in a relationship to get a copy of this book. This would be one of my, I think, prerequisites for really anyone who is in the dating market and looking for a long-term partner or a spouse to read this book. So what basically Not to Fall in Love with a Jerk is how to spot red flags, how to spot green flags, how to look for character, and how to make these determinations before you are head over heels in love with someone or infatuated, or, you know, they say love is blind, before you get to the point where you're not able to think straight. So the book is designed to be read in advance, long before you find anyone to potentially date or before you get in a relationship, so that as you are evaluating potential dating partners and marriage partners, that you will be able to spot the red flags. And so let me read you the back. How to avoid the jerks and find the one who is right for you. Based on years of research on marital and premarital happiness, how to avoid falling in love with a jerk, used to be called how to avoid marrying a jerk, will help you break destructive dating patterns that have kept you from finding the love you deserve. And it's got three bullet points here. First, ask the right questions to inspire meaningful, revealing conversations with your partner. Two, judge character based on compatibility, relationship skills, friends, and patterns from family and previous relationships. And number three, resolve your own emotional baggage so you're ready for a healthy relationship. In other words, don't be a jerk or jerkhead yourself. All right. And again, this is just going to be kind of a big endorsement for this at the beginning of the show. And then I want to talk about relationships in general. Let me tell you the table of contents here. Follow your heart without losing your mind. Healthy people make healthy choices. Finding your soulmate. That means getting to know that step, getting to know your compatibility potential, getting to know the skills for building and maintaining relationships, getting to know the patterns from other relationships. And I like the title of that chapter. It's, and my third wife was a dot, dot, dot. Getting to know the patterns of a family background, getting to know the patterns of the conscience, and that's a huge one. That is chapter 9, Finding Your Mate's Soul. Sketching the date mate profile, should I trust you? If I scratch your back, will you scratch mine? In other words, will you meet my needs? The word is my word is my bond, maybe. Can they keep a commitment? And then it's got a chapter on intimacy. So basically, if I could sum this up in a nutshell, and I would strongly recommend if you are looking for a partner, looking for a mate, if you're single and considering dating or looking for the special someone, get a copy of this. I know it's not very romantic a couple days before Valentine's Day to say, look out for the jerks, but this book is absolutely invaluable. And I remember, I think I've told this story on the air before, but I had a girlfriend in college who was constantly getting beaten up by the men she dated. And just continually, she would date a guy for a couple of months, and 3-4 months in, she would come up, turn up black and blue in class. And I have never been in a physically abusive relationship. I've never been hit by a man, knock on wood, and thank God. But there's a reason why she was falling into relationships where this was happening, and I was not. And that reason has to do with what you're willing to tolerate on a first date. I had several first dates. I dated a lot when I was younger, my 20s. I had several first dates where a couple of minutes into the date, when my date did something rude or inappropriate or treated me in an insulting way, that I, in my mind, said, you're so much for you. I'm not going to be going on a second date with you. And those, I'm sure I also met people who were abusive and horrific, but they never got past that first initial, testing the waters of being a jerk. And I'm not even sure they're conscious of it. But we tested this out, she and I. All the guys I dated were, kind and gentle and very nice men. And we were at, I was a student at USC, and we were out at a nightclub. And we made each other a bet, or I made her a bet. Not really a bet, kind of an arrangement in the bar. And I said, I'll tell you what, let's sit here for 5 or 10 minutes. And I want you to look around the room, and I want you to pick the top 3 guys that you think are hot. And I'm going to do the same. And so, we're sitting there looking around and checking everybody out. And after 5 minutes, I said, okay, she asked me first, who are your choices, Catherine? And I said, well, that guy over there. She says, him? I didn't even notice that guy. I said, that guy over there. She goes, he looks like a wimp. And then that guy over there. And she said, yeah, I didn't notice him either. Well, then she tells me her 3 guys. And I'm telling you, the moment I laid eyes on these guys, I could tell they were bruisers and probably abusive men. So I hadn't even seen them. That's the part that blew my mind. My mind had not even registered them as potential dates or potential people I could even be interested in. So there's really something going on in the background of who you choose. All right, this is Dr. Catherine Albrecht. I'm not sure if I'm going to go live today or not on YouTube, but thanks for bearing with me either way. All right, be right back.
Why are most email programs free? Companies use them as bait to lure people into their system so they can scan their data and sell them to advertisers. It's like a hotel giving out free rooms so they can film people sleeping and then sell the video. You'd never agree to that. StartMail restores your privacy. No one but you sees your sensitive data, and it costs less than a postage stamp a week. StartMail.com. It's email you can trust. Your email is your business, but if it's spied on, hacked, or intercepted, it can fall into the wrong hands. The solution is encryption, a high-tech way to scramble your data so no one can read it. For years, only the technical elite could use this powerful tool, until StartMail came along. StartMail not only lets you encrypt the email you send, it encrypts your entire account. Encryption. It's just one more way StartMail.com keeps you safe.
Is in this place truly? God is in this place truly. Incredible, wonderful, holy. God is in this place, truly. God is in this place,
incredible, wonderful, holy. This is God's house.
All right, I'm back. Trying my level best to get this working. To my satisfaction, it is working, but what I'm going to do is record this particular show onto my hard drive and not put it up on YouTube. So I'm so sorry if you're up on YouTube looking for me there. I don't think I'm going to be broadcasting the show. I need to rearrange the location of the camera. I need to change my lighting. Now that I'm actually doing this for real, I'm like, there's a million things I would change. So I'm going to be doing that. I also have my big clunky headphones on. And listener David recommended that I get the little earpieces that don't show up. So I'm going to switch to that too. So I've got a lot of things that I'm going to do, but I am working on it. And I think we're almost there. All right, Dr. Catherine Albrecht here with you. I'm talking about dating and the mistakes that we make when dating. And hopefully you can find those mistakes, identify them, and stop them before actually making a commitment and getting married and having children. Because at that point, it becomes more an issue of trying to figure out how to make your marriage work than an issue of simply having found the right, or maybe repair your marriage rather than having found the right marriage in the first place. So let me get back to the story of my girlfriend who was constantly being in relationships with abusive men, physically violent men. And so in this nightclub near USC, we had identified three completely different men. And the men that I found attractive, that I would have dated potentially, were men that she found absolutely insipid and had no attraction to whatsoever. The men that she identified as attractive, I found frightening. I found kind of repulsive, and I was not attracted to those men in the least. And so there's something going on in our, I've heard the phrase, your picker is broken. There's something going wrong in our picker. And you will see this in people's relationships if you continue getting into relationship after relationship with a particular kind of person. So I have had friends who have gotten into relationship after relationship with alcoholics. And it's very similar. If I were to go on a date and on that first date, the guy I was on a date with ordered a glass of wine, that'd be fine. But if he ordered four scotches, maybe five, and was slurring his words, that would be a big red flag for me. In fact, probably even two or three scotches would kind of raise my red flags and make me pay attention. And I probably would not go on another date with that person. However, for someone who grew up in a home where lots of alcohol abuse was taking place, that is not going to raise any kind of a flag for them because they will have grown up with it. They will have seen that all their lives. And in fact, if anything, that might even trigger a comfort sensation, as odd as it sounds, because it's familiar. You know, if your dad was, you know, slamming down five and six drinks a night and you go on a date with somebody and he drinks three or four scotches, are you really going to register that as a red flag, as a sign that maybe that person has a drinking problem? Probably not. And that's the reason why you will see alcoholics or children of alcoholics who are not themselves alcoholics, maybe who have decided not to drink, but they're very tolerant of other people drinking. And you may find yourself, if you grew up in that kind of a household, over and over in relationships and go, why is it that I'm the one who keeps dating the alcoholics, but all my friends are not having this problem? Just like my girlfriend. Why is it that I'm dating the guys who are bruisers and hit me in an argument, and my friends, I talk to them and they've never been hit by anyone in their lives? How is that happening? And so you can, you know, find your own pattern, and there's pattern after pattern. I've heard from men, why is it that I only date gold digger women? Why is it that every woman I date is only interested in what I can do for her, what I can give her, what I can buy for her? Why is it? And the list goes on and on and on of the types of patterns from our childhood that we repeat in our dating partners. And so for that reason, this book, How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk, is a real eye-opener, because it shows you that there are certain behaviors that, no matter how comfortable and familiar they may feel to you, they are things that you need to be on the lookout for, or you're just going to repeat the patterns from your childhood and from your youth in your future dating relationships. And the rate of divorce for second marriages is much higher than the rate of divorce for first marriages. I don't have the statistics right in front of me, but I think you're like 1.5 times more likely to get divorced from your second marriage than from your first. The reason for that is because people tend to replicate the problems they had in their first marriage. They get divorced, they rebound into a new relationship, which is very much like the first relationship before it went south, and then it goes south in the same way. And there are people, I was recently reading about, who is it who just got engaged? Halle Berry. She just got engaged, and I've been following, I have a little bit of a celebrity fascination. So Halle Berry is one of the celebrities that I have kind of shaken my head at, because she has been in like 7 different high profile romances with different men. She's been married multiple times, had kids with multiple people, and all of her relationships wind up breaking down after just a couple of years. And she's another one that I've been looking at. She's in the news now because she's engaged, and very high profile, talking about her engagement ring and her wedding plans with her latest husband, who I think he's number 4. But she's had children with people she hasn't been married to. But she is someone who stands out in my mind. I'm thinking, you know, first 1 or 2 times, it's probably the other person. By the 6th or 7th time, it's probably either you're doing something wrong, or your intent, or unintentionally, you're subconsciously picking people who are going to be doing the same wrong thing over and over. And I think in many cases, she was dating people who were cheating on her. So anyway, I just want to recommend the book. I can't recommend it highly enough. You definitely need to read it. So the email that I got, and I actually spent about 3 hours answering this email, which is why this is on my mind. The email that I got from a listener, and I'm not going to call you out, but I appreciate that you wrote to me and asked me to pray for you. I really got to thinking, what is it that as a godly person, as a Christian person, you would want to do in order to find a spouse? So if you're lonely, let me see if I can click up. I'm so glad I'm not on camera. Let me click up my... Hang on, my email response. All right. And I'm actually going to read you what I said, because I think this is good advice for everyone. And I was trying to think of a forum to put this on. I think I'll put it on my website. So I'll give out his first name. His first name is Jonathan. So Jonathan, if you're listening, I have not yet hit send on this email, so you'll get to hear it first on my radio show. But what I wrote to you is relevant to everyone. I said, "Hi, Jonathan. I have said a prayer for your search for a wife and a family. I have spent several hours making up a set of steps for you. There's a lot here, and it will take some effort on your part, but if you're serious and follow these steps, you will be in right relationship with God, your loving Father. When we rely on Him alone, He answers every prayer that is in line with His will. Since He ordained marriage, it's in line with His will. Walk closely with God, and He will answer your prayers and give you the beautiful, love-filled future with a godly wife and precious, precious children that He has planned for you. I prayerfully wrote all of this just for you." And I did write it just for you, Jonathan. And then I thought, you know, other people can benefit from this too. "To achieve the future God has planned for you, and this is not only with regard to marriage and children, this is with regard to career, with purpose, with really anything in your life, just our future, each one of us. You must first do the spiritual work in yourself to walk in freedom so that your prayers will be unhindered in reaching God. This series of steps has freed tens of thousands of people around the world from depression, anxiety, OCD, psychosis, addiction, and more. I have been through this process with a number of people that I love and care about, and I promise you it works. It works so well. I have introduced the program to my church, and we're now taking the second group of people through it. Praise God. Now, this is the Freedom in Christ process. But I also broke this down into steps for relationship. Step one, accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Before you begin, make sure you have confessed your sins and accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you have not yet done this, and I have a link to a website that does a pretty good job of laying out what you need to do. Once you've accepted Jesus as Lord, congratulations. You have been born again and have eternal life. Welcome to the family. All right. Next, listen to the 6-part audio series on my website under the spiritual health link on the menu. Okay, so you can go there to Catherine-Albrecht.com, and on the menu bar, there is a link that says spiritual health. It is 6 currently unlabeled audio MP3 files. They are each about an hour long. You listen to them in sequence, and then I went on to write. It has corny jokes, and it's entertaining, and it contains essential truths you need to know. At my church, people listen through the entire series once, then listen again and take notes. I put it on my website because it is so valuable. It's the perfect place to start the journey. And then I have a link to that, Catherine-Albrecht.com/FICM for Freedom in Christ Ministries. All right, when we come back, I'll give you steps 2 through 6. That was step 1 right there. All right, wishing you all love as we come up on Valentine's Day. All right, stay tuned.
Is your email box overrun with spam? With a StartMail account, you'll never have to give your real email address to a stranger again. Online shopping, newsletter subscriptions, getting that 30% off coupon, they all need your email address. But with StartMail, you can invent new addresses or aliases linked to your inbox behind the scenes and give those out to people while keeping your real address hidden. It's just one more protection from StartMail.com.
Red alert, Yahoo users. You've fallen in a trap that could ruin your life if you keep using Yahoo.
You consent to sharing all data in your email account with our AI providers, and you grant us a perpetual license to use, display, publish, and publicly distribute your content in any media known now or in the future, and to let other users access and distribute it as well.
Yikes! It's time to switch to StartMail, the only email that's AI-free and private by design. StartMail.com. Use promo code JD.
For I have chosen you, don't be afraid, for I am with you, don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up. I will hold you up. For I've chosen you, don't be afraid, for I'm with you. Don't be discouraged, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will hold you up.
Hey, I'm back. Catherine Albrecht here, talking about dating and finding the love of your life. And before I go on with the steps that I was outlining for... before I go on with the steps that I was outlining for a listener who wrote in, and that's Jonathan. Thank you for writing in. I want to say just another thing about that, what you're willing to put up with on a first date, because it is, the more I think about it, the more that is when bad behavior that you are accustomed to, or that you think you deserve, or that you don't think is weird or out of line, that is when the bad behavior gets you, is on usually on the first date. So, boy, I'm trying to think of things I can say without without revealing, without, I won't go there, but I have made some dating mistakes of things that I should have picked up on initially and way back when, and they echoed things that were not right in my own childhood. And so it is, I don't think any of us is immune to it. None of us had perfect childhoods. And there is something in your home, whether it is verbal abuse, whether it is impatience, whether it is rudeness to waiters, whether it is a cringing level of shyness, whether it is joking insults towards you, whether it is self-effacing insults towards themselves, lack of confidence, overconfidence, whatever you grew up with and whatever you came to identify as normal, 9 out of 10 other people who go on a date with that person would run screaming, but you will look at that behavior and it will feel very comfortable, very familiar. You may not like it, but you probably didn't like it growing up either. And unless you've worked on yourself to identify those things, then you're probably going to go on a second date and a third date. And that person will continue being the way that they, you know, got away with being on that first date. And usually on a first date, people are on their best behavior. So whatever little inkling of behavior you see there, if they're having 3 drinks there, they might be having 8 drinks later. If they are jokingly insulting you now, they might be openly insulting you later. So all of the behaviors that you see, just imagine them amplifying as time goes on. So it's very important that you become aware of the sorts of red flags you need to be looking out for. That's why I recommend this book, because some of them we're oblivious to, we're blind to, we don't see them until later. And then oftentimes in marriages, one party will begin to actually resolve the issues of their past, solve those problems, and decide that they no longer deserve to be treated in those bad ways. And then it's a question of hoping that the other partner can catch up, and prayer can go a long way towards that. All right, let me read on. This is the email that I wrote to Jonathan. And Jonathan, if you're listening, I will be sending this out to you right after the show. All right, so step one, listen to the 6-part audio series on my show. It has to do, if you're wondering what it's about who you are in Christ, how God sees you. Most of us walk around in life thinking that we are not good enough for God, because frankly, we're not. That is why Jesus had to come, because we are all sinful, we're all fallen, we all fall short of the glory of God, and we're all sinners. And most of us, even after becoming a Christian, continue to feel inadequate. And what's so beautiful about this audio series is that it talks, it opens, the very first audio in there is about the prodigal son and about the fact that he went off. If you don't know the story, he asked his father for his inheritance early, and then there were 2 brothers, and one of them asked for his inheritance, took half of his father's money, went off and squandered it on wild living and prostitutes and liquor and who knows, gambling, probably, who knows what all he did, but he squandered it all, it was gone, and he was destitute and broke, and he found himself feeding pigs. He got a job feeding pigs, which as a Jew is about the lowest and most filthy thing you can do. And on the day that he realized he was so hungry, he wanted to fill his belly with the pig slop that the pigs were eating, which is old rotting food and potato peels and things, he thought to himself, well, I'll go home and I will ask my father to hire me as one of his hired hands. At least I'll be fed. So he went home fully expecting to just get a lowly job as one of his father's servants. And instead, his father greeted him with a robe and slippers and put the ring on his finger and killed the fatted calf, which is the special, you know, beef in the herd that is for special occasions, and held a huge party for him. And I won't go too much into that, but listen to the audio, because that is how God sees us. When we sin, when we screw up and we return to him, he does not hold it against us. He does not put us in a lower position. He elevates us, restores us to full relationship with him, and throws us a party and lavishes us with love. So no matter how badly you've sinned or screwed up, all you got to do is repent, turn to him, and he will greet you the same or treat you the same way with open arms and love. And the one message from that that I found so beautiful is there is nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make him love you less. And that is mind-blowing, that there is nothing we can do. No matter how badly you screw up, God will not love you one iota less if you are his. He is just going to be sad and waiting for you to return. Just like the father, when he went off and spent all that money, a loving father would be just heartbroken and missing his son and praying for him every day and worrying about him and hoping he'd be okay. And when he came back, would just be thrilled that he's back and safe and throw his arms around him and say, I'm so glad you're back. You know, the past is the past, all forgotten. Just, I'm so glad you're home. And that's our God. All right, step number two. Once you've listened to this audio series, these six audios about your relationship with God, and you understand that God is not an angry meanie in the sky just looking to punish you, but he is a loving father who worries about you when you stray and welcomes you with open arms when you return, then read these two books by Dr. Neil Anderson. The first one is called Victory Over the Darkness. Realize the power of your identity in Christ. The second one is called The Bondage Breaker, Overcoming Negative Thoughts, Irrational Feelings, and Habitual Sins. And by the way, it's occurring to me because I have all the links in here for Jonathan that I will post this on my blog on my home site at Catherine-Albrecht.com so you can get links to all of this. All right, step number three, this is the big step. This is in red. Go through the seven steps to freedom in Christ. I've talked about this over and over. I have a very dear friend who just went through it today and called me up right before the show, just beaming with joy as to how it had completely set her free from pains of the past to the point where they are just removed. It's indescribable how awesome it is, but the pain and the suffering and the traumas of our past, just God heals them. And it's hard to even remember them after you've been through this process. I believe her session was about 4.5 hours. That's about how long it takes to go through it, and then it's gone. It's incredible. All right, I wrote to Jonathan, now you're ready to do the seven steps to freedom in Christ from Freedom in Christ Ministries, FICM.org. This is life-changing. I can't tell you enough how great this program is. It is so effective and wonderful in setting people free to love and be in relationship with the Lord that I am literally devoting my life to promoting it across the state of Michigan and then around the country. It will change and revolutionize your life, I guarantee. Freedom in Christ has a series of steps for having a freedom appointment, and I have a link. If you want to go through the steps to freedom on your own, here's the PDF that I use when I take people through the freedom appointment, and there's a link to the PDF. All right, step 3.5, and there's a reason this isn't step 4. Be baptized and attend church. If you've never been baptized based on a conscious decision of your own to follow Jesus, and infant baptism does not count because you did not choose that consciously, you will need to take this step of obedience. Every believer in Christ needs to be baptized based on these scriptures. Right? Acts 2:38 says this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins." And Mark 16:16 says this, "Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." Here is a complete list of additional scriptures about baptism, and I have a link to about, I don't know, it's like 15 or 20 different scriptures about baptism there. Find a Bible-believing church in your area, and I have a link to how to do that. Tell them you are a new believer who has been born again and that you want to be baptized. And then I said, I attend a Baptist-type Bible church. Denominationally, it is affiliated with the Mission Church, where baptisms are regular occurrences. And then I have a word of caution in here. The Catholic Church will not allow you to be baptized based on faith in Jesus alone. Now, the Bible clearly says that all you need to do is repent, believe in Jesus, and be baptized. But the Catholic Church has a whole series of additional steps. So belief in Jesus is not enough for them. So you will not be able to get baptized in a Catholic Church based on your newfound belief in and lordship of Jesus. You should also avoid churches that do not follow the Bible as the inerrant word of God. All right, and have a list of them. Shoot me a text if you want me to read the list. Otherwise, I'm probably going to offend people. But I'll put it in my blog, Catherine-Albrecht.com. 877-536-1360 if you want to shoot me that text. All right, be right back.
I've been hearing a lot about the LifeWave patches, and they sound amazing. And I'm thinking I want to try them for myself. But can you tell me how they work?
You wear the patch, which is about the size of a quarter, 12 hours a day, 12 on, 12 off. And the patch uses your body's own light and energy and copper peptides to reactivate the dormant stem cells in your body. Once a stem cell has been reactivated, it can be used by any of the cells in your body that need it, creating a healing and growth process you haven't experienced since your youth. So in a nutshell, this is how the LifeWave X39 patch works.
You can purchase the LifeWave patches by going to AmericasFreedomNetwork.com. Then click on the Natural Health Products button at the top of the page. That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Look, this product works, and you've got nothing to lose because there's a 100% money-back guarantee.
That's AmericasFreedomNetwork.com.
Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. He'll be gracious if you ask for help. He will surely respond to the sound of your cries. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help. The Lord is a faithful God. Blessed are those who wait for his help.
So I'm going to get into that towards the end of my steps to finding a life partner. And the wait for his help is the key. And you may not have to wait as long as you think. The waiting part comes because we have to be in obedience. And the obedience is what takes time. So really, the Lord is waiting on you for a lot. He's waiting on us. For a lot of the blessings he wants to give us. He's waiting for us to get free from the deceptions we're believing. He's waiting for us to get in line with him. He's waiting for us to trust and follow him in order to give us the blessings that he has in mind for us. All right, so before the break, I had said that I was talking about needing to find a Bible-based church and get baptized. And there's a list of churches that do not follow the Bible. Now, why is following the Bible so important? Well, because the entire freedom process from freedom in Christ, one of the key steps in receiving your freedom in Christ, is trusting that the Lord has provided the truth to you through the Bible, through Scripture. That is an absolute, fundamental, necessary, foundational, key element of being able to walk in freedom. And I've had many conversations on this program before about how I have a doctorate from Harvard University. I was a highly skeptical, I won't say I was a feminist, but I have a doctorate and wrote a best-selling book and ran a tutoring agency and had my own business and have done many independent things. And of course, the Bible has a lot to say about relationships between men and women, a lot to say about a lot of things, actually, about being not prideful and being humble and being loving and gentle and so many things that our society doesn't value. And yet, despite my initial reluctance to believe the Bible, I would think, well, most of it's true, but I'm going to ignore those parts about mental illness actually being the result of demonic involvement and other things. And I have since found, now in my multiple decades of life, that every single thing I doubted in the Bible has turned out to be true. So that is foundational, that is basic. And if you are following the steps to freedom in Christ, you will have to find a church that teaches from the Bible and does not teach that certain parts of the Bible are not true, or you're going to fall right back into the step number two that you are set free from, which is believing deception. So I'm going to go ahead and read this list. If one of these is a church that you attend or are involved in, sit tight, because I'm going to be doing an upcoming show talking about why each of the denominations I'm about to mention is not strays widely from Scripture. So I'm going to read this. You should avoid churches that do not follow the Bible as the inerrant word of God. Churches that do not adhere to the Bible include Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, Church of Latter-day Saints or Mormons, Christian Science, and Unitarian Universalist. The United Methodist and Presbyterian churches also stray widely from Scripture. Okay. So, and my uncle was a Presbyterian, or is a Presbyterian minister. So I'm not, there are very good people in each of those churches. But if you're going there as a new Christian, if you're going there to be baptized, you want to go to a church that is going to adhere to the Word of God. All right. Step number four, and then after steps 1, 2, 3, and 3.5, which is get baptized if you haven't already, is now you will be ready to find a godly partner. Step four, learn to spot the red flags and avoid them, and how to recognize green flags that identify a quality person of character by reading this book. And of course, it is How to Avoid Falling in Love with a Jerk. And I've got a link to it here on Amazon. Anyone dating needs this information. It's about spotting character and other things we need to be aware of before becoming infatuated with someone, since once we're head over heels, we can no longer see straight. I had the author on my radio show, and I can attest that this book is an absolute must-read for anyone seeking to find a partner. All right, going on. Step five. Now, this is going to be different for men and women. This is for men. This book shows you how to become the man God wants his beloved daughter, your future wife, to marry. Remember, she is also praying to find a husband, just like you are praying to find a wife. Read this book and become that man so you can bless her as much as she will bless you. Right? And the book is In Search of the Proverbs 31 Man, the one God approves and a woman wants. And I believe there are many books out there on how to be a Proverbs 31 woman. Proverbs 31, if you haven't read it, is about the godly woman, and most people don't realize that there is information in there about men as well. So read Proverbs 31. That's God's vision for both men and women in a marriage, and I have a link to that. All right, then I go on. After reading the book above, choose one of these books and pray through it. First one, 31 Prayers for My Future Wife. I have not read this book. I've read the other ones. I have not read this one. I just looked at the over 2,000 reviews and I think 4.8 stars on Amazon, and the comments, oh my gosh, they were blowing my mind. So 31 Prayers for My Future Wife, looks like it must be a fantastic book, and I'll probably order a copy and report back. The second one is Prayers to Find a Godly Spouse. And again, I've not read that book either, but it comes well reviewed. Step number six, live each day putting the Lord first. Pray every morning and night, telling the Lord that you honor and worship him, seek to do his will, and that you are reporting for duty for whatever he calls you to do. In other words, do not make your life's focus trying to find a wife. And I'm going to say, you could also say, don't make it trying to find a career. Don't make your life's focus trying to fill in the blank. But instead, make your focus following the Lord. Trust him. If you are his faithful follower and ask him for a wife, he will bring her into your life. And since he will be the one doing it, you will be blessed with a wonderful marriage to the right woman. God created marriage as a blessing to mankind. If we walk with him and let him guide our steps, he meets all our needs and gives us the desires of our hearts. Learn to walk with him, and abundant blessings will follow you all the days of your life. Now, this is the paradox. This is the thing that goes against what the world teaches you. The world says, find what you want and throw everything you have into getting it. But what God says is throw everything you have into following me, and I will provide absolutely everything you need, and I will bless you abundantly with joy and peace and all of the good things, all the good stuff. And it's true. If we have to rely upon ourselves to find a spouse, well, that's kind of stressful, because as I mentioned earlier in the show, we're likely to have, well, our pickers are broken, and we're likely to make bad choices. Or maybe try and not even find what we're looking for. So if we have to rely on ourselves, that causes anxiety, causes stress, it can cause depression. And God wants for us to experience none of those things. Follow him and he will give you all the desires of your heart. All right, down to the last thing. That's the end of the steps, but now I have a couple of pieces of advice. Touch no unclean thing. That's Isaiah 52:11. And come out of her, my people, Revelation 18:4. The regular listeners to the show know that I talk about this a lot. But these are the passages that say, stop doing filthy stuff. Our society is drowning in filth. You do not need to jump into the sewer with it. Come up here with us on the rock, clean yourself off, and stop engaging in disgusting things that you shouldn't touch. All right, here's the passages. Isaiah 52:1. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Go out from the midst of her. That's referring to Babylon, which is the world corrupt system. Go out from the midst of her. Purify yourselves, you who bear the vessels of the Lord. Bear as in carry, you who are carrying his word. Revelation 18:4 says, come out of her, my people, so you will not participate in her sins, and so you will not receive of her plagues. So we know that this world is filled with sin. There are many people participating in those sins, and there are plagues that accompany them. They're experiencing those plagues now, plagues of spiritual assault, and those plagues are just going to get worse and worse as we go on. And if you listen to the show regularly, you know one of the things that I really oppose is artificial intelligence. Don't touch it. It's filthy. It's corrupt. It's demonic. And things like that. So you can pray for discernment in the spirit. You can pray for what discernment is sort of an awareness when you come across something. The Holy Spirit in you will recoil. In other words, kind of like, ugh, you know, pull back in disgust. And you will feel that in yourself, and you will no longer be attracted to disgusting, dark, and yucky things. So that is discernment. You want to pray for that. And pray for the Holy Spirit to guide and lead you. Finally, my last one in my last minute here, music. I no longer listen to secular music or even Christian music, but only scripture put to song. Xander Stokes' Project of Love is amazing. He has recorded over 100 songs of Bible verses and comes out with a new one every Friday. I never get tired of listening, and now the thing running through my mind all the time is God's word through song, not filthy lyrics. I've memorized hundreds of scripture verses without even trying, and now I meditate on his word day and night. That's a scriptural command, because his word is what is running around through my head. And then I have links to Spotify, to Xander Stokes' website, and to YouTube, and then a couple of really great ones that I link to. So there you go, and I finished just in time. I love the timing here. We got right to the end just as I got to the end. All right, I will see you guys tomorrow. Hopefully you will get the book, How Not to Fall in Love with a Jerk, and go through the steps to freedom in Christ. All right, thanks for listening. I will see you guys tomorrow, hopefully on YouTube. See you then.